Okay, we're going to begin here at the bottom of Lamed Zayin a bit. It says, Amrei Nardai, Hai Mantuz Oven Dikla, someone who purchases a dekel, a palm tree, the chavrei, Kani Le Mishiplei Ad Tehuma. Someone who purchases a dekel for his friend or from his friend, he buys with it, along with this dekel, along with the tree itself, he gets mishupule from the base of the tree ad tohuma until the depths all the way down, unlimited space under the tree. Now mishupule, where exactly that is, the Rabbeinu Gershom explains that to give him or allocate him land under the tree that is the breadth of the branches is too much space. To give him only the land or the width of land underneath the trunk itself, the center of the trunk where they get the wood from, be too little. So give him shipule, which seems to be the base of the trunk, including where the roots start to spread out from that thick area. So we give him all that entire area underneath the tree, all the way down to the tahom. Now, the Rashbam believes when we're talking about giving him the land, that means that we give him the land and the right then to replant. If this tree dries up or is cut down, then he has the right to replant in that land. Tosa says no. He says the right that he's granted over here is simply that the balabait, or the one who owns balakarka, may not dig underneath the tree. No matter how deep he goes or how much space he leaves, he may not go under the tree. And that's the only thing that he owns the land for. Either way, the Nardai say, if you purchase a dekel from your friend, you get the land underneath the dekel, all the way down to the tahom. So matki floravo, velemele kurkuma derishka zvinalach, akur kurkuma derishka vazil. Says Rava says, wait a minute, why can't the seller say to him like this? Meaning that your premise is that because the tree needs to be yonik, needs to get its dry, its nutrition from the ground, and it because it's sitting on the ground, that somehow you get a piece of the karka. Meaning that because it's drawing from the ground, then you own the karka, according to the Rashbam, so that you can replace that tree, or according to the Tosfos, that you're not allowed to dig under that. Why do you have to say that's true? Why don't we make it just like Kurkuma Derishka? According to Mishka, Rashi calls it Krug Oriental. I think in other places it's saffron. So some sort of a saffron, which is an expensive crop that they grow once, and you buy it for its production. According to from the Rashbam, it sounds like it grows every year and you would pick it out. And from Tosso Springs, from the Ri, that Kurkuma Derishka grows over a period of 3 years, or it stays in the ground over a period of 3 years, and you'd pick it at the end. But basically, what the Rub is suggesting is, why does he have to say to him, listen, I sold you the when I sold you the tree along with all of its land, this land underneath, because of its need for the nutrition or need to gain, take from the land, yonake from the land. Why don't I just say, I sold you the production of the tree. I sold you what's going to be harvested, the fruits in the end. I didn't sell you anything to do with the karka. Just like if someone sold Kurka the Marishka, if someone sold this crop, they weren't selling the land. They're selling the harvesting of this product in the end. So when it comes to Kurka the Marishka Vizil, when you finish, when the crop is ripened or when it's fully grown to its full height or full growth, you say to him, cut it and take it. You don't get any part of the land. So why can't he say the same thing here by the tree? When the tree's done, take your tree and go. Why do you have any entitlement to the land whatsoever? So, Elamar Rava, Bava Machmatana. No, the case here is that the tree owner says, I purchased the tree and the land underneath the tree. So we say to him, that's a good chazaka. If he says after 3 years, I don't have the shtar anymore, but I bought the tree with the karka underneath it, he's entitled to say that, and he does get to keep the, gets to keep the tree at that point in time. That is classified as a good chazaka because people do buy the land that goes under the tree. And now he's used this tree for those 3 years, so he gets the land underneath when he makes a claim as such. So what happens if he sold him? According to the Ri, he really sold him Kurka Derishka, which stays on the ground for 3 years. According to Rashbam, he sold him a tree like what one would do with Kurka Derishka, but he sold him only the production and he didn't sell the land. So how does a person protect himself if he only sold the tree and not the land? How does he protect himself from having the individual after 3 years come and say, I bought the land as well? Because he is allowed to get his fruits off for the 3 years. He's allowed to take it. So what could he do? Someone says, he should have been moche. He has to say, listen, within the first 3 years, he has to take two edim aside and say to them, listen, I only sold him the tree, only sold him the production, I sold him the harvest, I did not sell him the land that goes underneath it, and therefore it will be a good mecha. So again, this comes back to the gemara that we saw earlier on Lamed. Hey, dilo te mehoche, if you don't say like this, hani mashkanta desura. When it comes to mashkanta desura, again, remember, mashkanta d'usura is where a person takes collateral from a creditor, takes collateral from the debtor, and the deal is that he gets 10 years of the production of this field, and after 10 years, the land will revert back to the debtor without any payment. So that's his payment. The repayment of the loan is accomplished through the years that he gets the production of the field. And there the Gemara says, the Rabbanan said it was okay because it's not ribit. It's not considered interest because there's upside and downside. Sometimes you get more than you're supposed to. Sometimes you get less. Depends on the production or the productive quality of the field each year. So there, what are you going to do? Tipuk ara dabalu kesef. So what's the case of mashkanta d'sura, which is, he says, hachim mishlam shnaya yilein, when these years end, tipuk ara dabalu kesef, the land will revert back to the debtor without any payment. Ikavish le the shtar mashkanto, if the creditor goes ahead and then he doesn't show, he rips up the shtar mashkanta and says, listen, Amar l'kucha yibiyadi, I bought this land and I've been here for 10 years. Of course it's mine. Hachanami d'mehemen, you're going to say he's believed over there? Metakne rabon milsudat b'leidei pseda, the rabon would establish such a vehicle for, they would establish such a vehicle for mashkanta in a case where it's going to end up being a loss because the debtor will always lose the land because he can't establish a chazak over there. Is that the case? Would we allow for such a thing to happen? No, it must be. What? So he has to make a mecha. I mean, then he has to get two edim and take him aside and say, listen, when I gave this land, I gave it as a mashkanta, I gave it as collateral. I did not sell him the land. Also over here, he should have taken the edim aside and be mocha. I mean, then what he has to do, because then the obligation shifts to the purchaser, because then once he's made a mecha within the first 3 years, he knows that he needs a shtar. And once he knows he needs the shtar, his obligation is upon him to keep the shtar. If he doesn't keep the shtar, it's his loss that he didn't keep the shtar. So all you have to do is be mocha. And the chiddush, or what the Gemara is suggesting, is that we thought that a mecha is only when you say that you don't belong on this land, you're a gazlan, get out of here. That's a mecha. But if I say that I sold him, he's allowed to be on my land because I sold him the fruits or I sold him the tree, but it's not really his land, he didn't purchase the land, there we don't say that it's a mecha. So it comes along the Gemara and says, no, that is a good mecha. That's a appropriate mecha when you go ahead and say and you define what you sold him. And then when the edim know that, they can go ahead and spread it through word, and then the machzik of the land will have to keep his shtar. If he doesn't keep his shtar, he loses out. In that case, he's going to lose out. Okay, now we begin a new Mishnah. The Mishnah starts, Shlosh Aratzot L'Chazaka. There are three different lands for Chazaka. We've seen this Mishnah in other places. We've seen in Pesachim, Shlosh Aratzot L'Biur, when it comes to Biur of Shvi'it. We also have it in Ksubot, or Shlosh Aratzot, right, L'Nisu'in, about where a husband, when can obligate a wife to move, which areas. So the same divisions over here, Yehuda, right, Eivar Yardain, and the Galil. There are three sections, Yehuda, Eivar Yardain, and Galil. Hayab Yehuda, if a person lives in Yehuda, V'Echzik B'Galil. The person who owns the field is in Yehuda, and then they went and someone was machzik in his field in the Galil. B'Galil v'chazik b'Yehuda, or the other way around, right? He's in the Galil, and somebody is machzik in his property in Yehuda. Eina chazaka ad she'emo b'medina achat. It's not classified as a chazaka until they are together in the same area. They both have to be in Yehuda, they both have to be in Galil. Otherwise, it's not classified as a good chazaka. We're going to see in the Gemara why this is, so I won't define it now, because that will actually ruined the Havamini of the Gemara. So Amri Yehuda, Lo Amru Shloshanim. This whole idea of Shloshanim has nothing to do with Mecha, has nothing to do with Chazakah, it has to do with the fact, Ela Kadeshi Hei Bas Famia. It has to do with distance. It has to do with, even if the individual is in Spain, the owner lands in Spain, Yachzik Shana, Yachub Yodiu, and this person is Machzik on the land for 1 year, then they'll go tell him, take a Shana, take a year to go out and tell him about it, but Yavol Shana Acheret. And then the following year, someone will come back to tell him that he was Moche. So you need the time in order to allow for a mecha. But based on Rabbi Yehuda, that would mean that if the person was found in the same city and he watched you take something from the field, he watched you harvest the field, then that would be a chazaka immediately. I mean, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not about the shtar and keeping the shtar over 3 years. It's all about a person does not stand idly by while someone else uses their land. So in this case, if a person uses the land, utilizes the land, and he knows about it, then it'll be a chazaka right away. If he doesn't know about it, we have to allow for enough time to him to find out about it. What's that? That's 3 years. A year to go out to Spain, a year for him to be there to use the land, a year to go out to Spain and tell him, and a year to come back to let the person know that there was a chazaka, that there was a mecha that he refuted, or he said no, that I don't want him on my land, and I didn't sell it to him, that there's an iur on the land. And that's what the 3 years are for. The Rashbam points out that a year is a normal distance that a person will travel away from their home. Beyond that point, they wouldn't travel much more, and therefore the Tcharas Chachamim reflected traveling of 1 year. Not that you can't travel more than, but you could be more than 1 year, but the Chachamim didn't address that situation because that's not regil. They were metakein for what is regil and shchiach. They were metakein for these unusual cases where people travel more than a year away from their home. So my kasever tanakam, what does the tanakam hold in this case? If you hold that you do not have to have a face-to-face objection to the person who is makzik your land, then afilu mihuda legalil. Why should it make a difference where the person is residing or where they're found? Meaning if they're nowhere near their field, first of all, they'll get the information that someone's makzik in their land. And number two is the mecha will reach them also. You take a mecha to the edim over there, the information through the grapevine will reach the individual. So we don't worry about being residing in the same location. We know it doesn't matter. So then why does our Tanakhama say Yehuda and Galil are considered two areas? So now, if he holds that you have to object face-to-face, I mean, it's not good enough that you're mocheh in front of Edim and the rumors will get there or the grapevine will reach him. Rather, you have to go to him face-to-face and tell him you don't belong in this land. If that's the case, even in the same country, if you're not immediately in front of him, it doesn't work. So why are you saying Yehuda and Galil? Even within Yehuda, if you're in two separate locations, that would be also a problem. So Amri Rabbi Abar Amel Amri Rav La'olam Kasavar the Tanakam Obliz Mecha Shalom B'Fanav Havi Mecha, that even if you're not face to face, an objection, even if it's not face to face, it is a good objection because the Edim will bring the information to him through the grapevine. So now, why in our Mishnah, what's the issue with the UWGO? B'Mishnatenu B'Shat Chirum Shanu. Our Mishnah is talking about a time of emergency, a time when it's dangerous, that people did not travel between Yehuda and Galil because the dominion of Yehuda, whoever ruled over Yehuda and Galil, were at odds with each other, that they had scuffles between them, and people did not freely travel between the two of them. Therefore, information doesn't move. I mean, both about the fact that someone is machzik in your land in Yehuda, you won't find out about that in the Galil. And also, if someone in the Galil is objects and has a mecha, then his objection will not reach. So therefore, the chazakah doesn't work over here, according to the Tanakama. The whole idea of a chazakah is that he had the ability to object and he didn't object. But that's not true. When the information doesn't travel, it means that he never had the ability to find out about it. And if he didn't have the ability to find out about it, when he doesn't object, that's no indication that he doesn't care or that he's not, he's acquiescing to the chazakah here. So therefore, there's nothing is created between these two places. Gemara says, well, Mishnah Yehuda v'Galil, denakit. Well, if you're talking about it, that it's an issue of scuffles or dominion where there's no free travel between the two locations, why'd you pick Yehuda and Galil? Pick any two kingdoms or any two areas of dominion, and you can say, look, Shat Chirom, you can't assume that the information travels. If it's not Shat Shalom, then the information travels. Why did the Mishnah specifically pick on Yehuda and Galil? So when it says, Stam Yehuda and Galil, Shat Chirom Damit, because that's the natural state of Yehuda and Galil. That as opposed to other nations where maybe their primes with their odds, times when they're at Shalom. Here, Yehuda and Galil, you can assume the basic understanding, the basic assumption is that they're at odds, that you can't travel. That's the natural state between Yehuda and Galil. Dos was discussed that a little bit because the Gemara in Gittin says that there were Shairot, by the time Zman HaMita Mikdash, when you had Olei Regalim, there were Shairot that brought the people. And even when there was no Beit HaMikdash, there were the Batei Dinim that brought people back and forth. So there seemed to be information flow. There seemed to be people moving back and forth. So Dos distinguishes between Gittin, where you just need to find out or get information back and forth, versus over here, where you need the information to specifically be relayed to an individual. So over here, we have an individual who's trying to, he's going to have to find out that someone's holding his land, or he has to send a macha, he has to send an objection back. There, the edim don't, when there's travel, people aren't necessarily focused on bringing that information back and forth. But when it's a woman who's looking to find her edi kiyum, and she's specifically asking and sending and looking for that information, or we say, b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta, over there we say yes, because if someone's actively trying to pursue the information, or actively trying to disseminate the information, then we say that the travel that goes on is sufficient to move the information. But that's not true when you are talking about information that we're talking about that is supposed to be flowing freely, means coming through the grapevine, it's coming through a rumor. There, we don't assume this type of travel is going to bring the information because it's a specific type of travel. It's either for Olei Regalim or it's for the Batei Dinim, but not free-flowing travel that would bring rumors back and forth. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. So this is the same Rav who we saw before, Amar Rav Abba Bar Mama, who explained the Tanakhama and says, Mecha Shalom B'Fanav Havi Mecha, that a objection that's not face-to-face is still classified as objection. Over here, Rav Yehuda Marav says, Ein Machzikim B'Nichsei Borech. One may not take possession of someone who is running away. Over here, there's he has some altercation with the government, and he has to leave town. So he flees town. So all of a sudden, someone else jumps on his property and says, lives there for 3 years, and says, look, I bought it from him and I have a chazakah, I don't need a shtar anymore. So Rav says, Ein machzikim nisbechech. When Rav Yehuda brought this to Shmuel, Rav Yehuda learned both by Rav and by Shmuel. Rav had passed away before Shmuel, so Rav Yehuda later went to learn by Shmuel. He told him over things that Rav said. So when he said over what Rav said to Shmuel, he says, how could Rav say this? How could Rav say that a boreach, you can't make a chazakah? Why? The whole problem you're suggesting is that he's not going to be mocheh because he's not there, he's not present, he ran away. So his mocheh, his objection won't be a good objection. What do you mean? You don't have to object face to face. He can object in front of a demon in another place and the information will get back. So why isn't it a good chazakah? Rav Maika Mashmalon, and what Rav's trying to teach us, mocheh shalob fanav, lo v'yam mocheh. So what are you going to suggest? That Rav's opinion is that you need to object face to face. V'amar Rav, we just had Amar Rav, mocheh shalob fanav, habi mocheh. That everybody agrees that a mocheh does not have to be face to face. So Rav already made a statement that you don't have to have it face-to-face. Now he's going to demand it be face-to-face. The Gemara says, yes. When it comes to Amar Rav, when he's explaining the Tanakhama's position, always it's a behechrech. We don't know how to explain the Tanakhama because it doesn't make sense to Mishnah. So to explain the Tanakhama's position, we say that it's mecha shelo b'fanav havi mecha, that an objection that is not face-to-face is good. But Rav doesn't hold that. That's not his position. His position is like Rabbi Yehuda. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Mecha shelo b'fanav is not classified as a good mecha. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda demands, what's the whole 3 years according to Rabbi Yehuda? The time that it takes for the individual to be there for a year, then for the news to travel to the individual who owns the land, and then another year for the information to travel back, for the person to travel back and be mocheh in front of the party. Meaning that the fact that Rabbi Yehuda demands that there be a third year that you travel back and object in front of that party shows you that Rabbi Yehuda believes that you need a mocheh b'fanav, that you need it to be face-to-face, this objection. So Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda that it has to be a face-to-face objection. Amar Rav, that's coming to explain the Tanakhama's position in the Mishnah. So that's the one lashon of Rav. Ikadamri, there's another lashon of Rav. Amar Rav, Yehuda Amar Rav, machzikim in nechzei boreach, that you are able to be machzik in nechzei boreach. That would suggest the what? We said it in front. Rav Yehuda relayed this memory of Rav to Shmuel. Amar li pshita, of course. Again, the same question. What do you mean? Of course, you don't have to be mocheh face to face. Of course, Rav, that you can be machzik b'nechzei bereich. Rav Maika Mashmalon. And so then, what's Rav adding over here? If he says mecheh shelo b'fanav havi mecheh, we know that already. That's not something new that Rav is teaching us. Mecheh shelo b'fanav havi mecheh. Rav already told us that. That over there, Stam Mishnah that Rav is explaining says, so it's clear that that's what Rav holds. And then why all of a sudden now we need Rav to repeat that statement? Why do we need a new piece of information from Rav in this case? That you could be machzik b'nichzei boreach, that someone who runs away, you could take his property and you get a good chazakah, because he could be mocheh from wherever place he is. He'll talk to Edim and it'll be fine. So Rav is coming to teach us this din or this chiddush. Even if the individual objects in front of two edim who will never be able to reach the person who's being machzik in the karka, for instance, he is a mechigrim, people who have no legs, aren't able to walk, and he's mocheh in front of them, and he knows they're not going to leave the area. Nevertheless, it's good mocheh. Why? Because what do we believe by Rav? Chavra Islay, right? Meaning that he believes in the grapevine, you're in the rumor mill, the ability for information to travel is sufficient. When you object in front of edim, it's not that these physical edim have to have the ability to get back to the machzik. No, it just has to be that they have the ability to spread information, and that they can do. They'll speak to other people, and then other people to other, and then the information will get back. So Rav's chiddush is, number one, mecheh shelo b'fanav havi mecheh, that when you don't have to have a face-to-face objection. Number two is, not only do you not have to have a face-to-face objection, you can even tell edim who have no ability to reach the machzik, and that's still good because the information will flow. So what about Shmuel? How come Shmuel didn't think of this chiddush in Rav? So that is the next line of the Gemara. I was explained the position of Mar Shmuel, why he didn't think of this chiddush in Rav. So micha b'fnei shnei adam shecholim lomar lo havi mecha. That if one objects in front of two people who can reach the machzik, that is a good objection. Micha b'fnei shnei adam she'ein yuchonim lomar lo havi mecha. According to Shmuel, it doesn't work. If you're mocheh in front of two edim who will not reach the machzik, that is not a good mecha. So Shmuel holds of this idea of the rumor of the grapevine, but it has to be premised on the fact, or has to be based on the fact, that these are edim that could have reached the machzik. Because even if they don't reach it, okay, the rumor is the grapevine will reach it, but there is a potential for them to reach it. That is, you need at least. Rav says, no. Rav, chavarcha, chavritle, chavarcha, chavritle. That your friend has a friend, and your friend's friend has a friend. The rumor of the grapevine is sufficient, and you don't need edim who can physically make it back to the machzik. So this is actually a point of contention between Shmuel and Rav. Shmuel believes you have to talk to edim who can in potential reach the machzik, and Rav says no, even if they can't reach the machzik, the rumor mill or the grapevine is sufficient. And therefore Shmuel questioned the memory of Rav. Rav already had said that we don't need to object face to face, so why did Rav again come and say that you can be machzik benichse boreach, that you can take possession of the of a property if someone has run away? Because Rav is coming to tell us this new chiddush. The new chiddush is that you can talk to or do an objection in front of edim who are not able to reach the machzik. And Shmuel didn't think that of Rav, and he's questioning Rav's repeating his statement because Shmuel doesn't hold that. Shmuel says, I don't think that if you object in front of edim that can't make it there, that that's a good objection. It's not a good objection. So, Amar Rava, Hilchasa, what's the halacha here? Ein machzikim minichsei boreach. You're not allowed to be machzik minichsei boreach. Either, like the first lashon that we saw before, or because you believe that you have to have a mecha b'fanav, that you have to actually object face-to-face. But then he has another halacha, u'mecha shelo b'fanav havi mecha. You don't have to have a face-to-face objection. You can object even not face-to-face. So how can you reconcile these two? Tarte, the Gemara says, these are irreconcilable. These are tarte de satre. They are mutually exclusive. If you believe that you can object without being face-to-face, then a boreach, you should be able to be machzik in his property, because the boreach can object away from here. You can be object in front of a demon. It will be sufficient. So how do we reconcile this? The Gemara says, Lokasha, kan boreach mahat mamon, kan boreach mahat mardin. Depends why he's running away. If he's running away from monetary matters, then the Rashbam says, you know what? Over there, he doesn't mind about his location being found out. People know that he's anus, that he's under pressure. He doesn't have the money, so he ran away. When he comes, gets the money, he's going to come back. He's not worried about them chasing after him or following him to other medinot, because it's similar. It's a monetary issue. They're not going to chase him down. So over there, he's going to be willing to be mocheh in front of edim, because it doesn't matter that his location becomes known. On the other hand, if it's machan mardin, if he killed somebody and it's a capital punishment issue, you can either say that the government would go after him and they would find wherever he is, or what the Rashbam suggests over here is that the Gol Adam is going to be angry and he's going to come after him. I mean, that if he knows where he's located, he's going to travel after him, ki yecham levavo, and he's going to chase him down. He's going to find out wherever he is, he's going to chase him down. So here he's afraid to give any information, to say anything, because then people become aware of his location. So since he's in hiding there, we don't demand him to moche. So that's the difference here. When do we say machzikim b'nechzei boreach? When can you not take a chazak or be machzik in the nechzei boreach? That's when it's a nefashot issue. It's a capital punishment issue. And that issue, when he runs away, he's not going to be moche. If he can't be mocheh, then you can't be machzik. Because the whole point of your chazaka working is that he had the ability to object to your being there, and he didn't. So that's why your chazaka works. But over here, if he doesn't have the ability to object, then your chazaka doesn't work either. And therefore, it's not a good chazaka. On the other hand, if it's a stam case where a person travels away, when it's a boreach because of mamon, or because he's traveling away, according to the Rashbam, it's the same. Both if you boreach because of mamon, or you traveled far away, either of those two are the same case. Over there, you have the ability to object. You object in front of two edim, and the grapevine or the rumor mill will bring it back to the original owner. Therefore, the fact that you didn't object makes it that his chazakah is a good chazakah. In that case, you could be machzik beboreach's property, and it will be machash lebfanav, meaning that you don't need to object face to face. You can object even outside of the area, not face to face with the person who is being machzik. Now, the Rashbam points out or suggests here that there's a similar din. Boreach is just an example of a din, meaning that boreach is anybody who travels far away from the location. Tosfos the Ri suggests over here that dafka boreach, avu bin inish da'alma havi chazoka. That's only when he has to run away. But a regular person that's a chazaka should hold a vodu makom shemachzik sham limchot, because he has the ability to return and be moche. So that's the re differentiates. Boreach, the reason that it works, that is, mecha works, or you can't be machzik in his property, right, according to Rav, is because he can't get back here. So either if you demand that he does it face to face, right, then he can't get back here, or if you demand of him to send the information back or to allow his location, you can do it through lofanav. That's only because he can't get back here. But maybe if he's just traveling freely, maybe he has an obligation to come back, either because you have to do macha face-to-face, or based on like Rabbi Hudu, says you need macha face-to-face, or maybe even in that case, we don't allow you to do it in front of Edim because you have the ability to come back. If you have the ability to come back and do it face-to-face. So there's a little difference between the And the Rashbam, suggesting that it's just an example, Boreach, whereas the Rish suggesting no, Boreach is Dafko, because Boreach has the inability to get back, and therefore the din is Emach Zikim and Boreach, because of that, because of this effect that you can't. Now, the maskana of the Gemara, it doesn't matter, because the maskana of the Gemara is that you mochesh lofanav habimacha, an objection that when you're not present is a good objection. And the only exception to that, or the only exception where we don't demand of him to make a macha, is where his life's going to be endangered by making the macha, and that's in the nefashot. Okay, we'll stop over here.